It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com. And now, the 10th President of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest. It's a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. Listeners, thank you for being part of our family. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV, KRNW, hope you're staying warm, and do remember your sweetheart on February 14th. I am very pleased to welcome you to the February edition of our show. Two segments as usual. In segment one, we feature Alan Mays, John View, and Chris Redden as they discuss sustainability practices at Northwest Missouri State University. In segment two, we feature Senator Dan Hageman and Representative Alan Andrews about their impressions of the first month of the legislative session and other topics as well. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin our program, I welcome Alan Mays, Chris Redden, and John View. Alan Mays is the Assistant Vice President for the Facility Services and Capital Programs here at Northwest. His team is responsible for all facility operations on campus, including the maintenance and cleaning of more than 2.3 million square feet of buildings, energy and sustainability on campus, landscape services, which includes the Missouri Arboretum, transportation, central plant, recycling plant, and of course our capital program. Alan's a 1992 graduate of SIU Carbondale's architecture program. He has more than 25 years of capital project and facilities management experience. He also joined Northwest back in 2016. Chris Redden has worked at Northwest for more than 12 years, currently serving as the supervisor of Northwest's Pellet Plant and Recycling Center. While he's been at Northwest, we have to go back a few years. He joined his dad, John C. Redden, in all the work that John Redden did here at Northwest. So Chris has a lot of roots and experiences at our campus. Over the past 10 years, his team, led by Chris, has worked on recycling and waste management, sustainability program at Northwest, and we simply would not be where we're at today without his leadership efforts. John View has worked at Northwest since 2000, and he became the university's first sustainability coordinator in 2011. Since 2011, Northwest has implemented a successful composting program, expanded recycling operations, established a student sustainability group, provided support, and helped develop sustainability student programs. The sustainability office also supports energy management, the central plant operations, and our capital programs. Well, gentlemen, thanks for joining us, and welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Those are voices in order of John View, Chris Redden, and Alan Mays. Gentlemen, you know, anywhere I go and to whom I talk to, whether it be legislators or alumni, community members, students, so forth, faculty and staff, you know, a hallmark is what's happening on the main campus, the beauty of the main campus, what we have done in the past, what we're doing today, and what we could do tomorrow. That's what we want to present to listeners today. The word sustainability is kind of a word that's thrown around a lot. Let's talk about what that means at Northwest. What is sustainability at Northwest at its core?
I mean, essentially, the sustainability as a whole, no matter where it's at, is moving forward today and not impeding our ability to move forward tomorrow. At Northwest, it's really started as a very practical program. It's been going for more than 35 years, if you count back to our alternative fuels. And today it really focuses around energy conservation, waste management and recycling, student outreach, trying to bring, no matter what students' majors are, bring them to the green economy and show that it's where we're at now, you know, globally.
That's the voice of John Bew, and John is our first sustainability coordinator. You can appreciate that my wife Denise and I were recently with Dr. B.D. and Sue Owens, and with Dr. Dean L. Hubbard. And so we talked at length about the beginnings of the program and BD researching alternative fuels in the late 70s. And he had stories of Chris, your father, John C. Redden Jr. And so I think about the past. But Alan and Chris, as you think about what we've done and where we've been, what are some of our goals?
Sure. And it's such a broad program, and I think how we invest in it is going to be so important for our future. And when I think about the different aspects of sustainability as it relates to the pellet plant and our central plant, I think continuing to subsidize from a fuel perspective in our central plant is going to be also important in a volatile world of gas markets, fuel markets, things of that sort, but also a self-supporting regional or district recycling program, which really what we are today. And Chris runs that program, and I think the opportunity for us to expand on that is very important and being self-sustaining. Right.
And for our listeners, I'll have to apologize because I think I'll jump around from past to present to future and maybe back around in that circle, maybe not even in that order, just because there is so much to talk about. And I think what our listeners can appreciate is our program is very robust. But Chris Redden, as you talk to school children that come on campus or faculty and staff that do tours, board members, we took the board through our operations. At the core, what do we do on a daily basis as we talk about this topic?
On a daily basis, as we collect all the cardboard and paper from the community and the university, we process it all into our pellets, and then we burn it over here, bring it over here to the powerhouse, and that's what supports our alternative fuels. Not only that, we grind pallets, used pallets, and we bring them over here and burn them. And then on the recycle side of it, which is fairly new, is whenever we collect all the plastic, aluminum, and tin cans and glass from the community and the university. And then we have to sort it all, bale it, and then we send it to a processing plant where most of it comes back as your clothes. Most of it goes to Mexico right now because that's where they do most of that polyester stuff, and that's what most of it comes back as. Kurt Davis is one of my good recyclers out there. He always, if he knows he's got a tour coming through, he'll wear a Kansas City Royals ball cap, and the tag of it inside it says 75% PET, which is a pop bottle. The bottles that we drink our pop and water out of.
Have you seen an increase in recycling materials that are brought to us?
Yes, more and more every day. There's a continuous stream of community people that are dropping off stuff out there at the pellet plant.
And so why is it? Is that something that we promote? How do we, you know, get that increase and so on?
I'm going to tell you, the best recyclers we have are them 50-year-old and older people, and the younger kids are learning. We got to keep pushing them younger kids to follow what them older ones are doing. The older generation's still setting the bar for what we got to do to get these young kids educated on how to recycle.
I'm looking at Austin Hall, our student producer over there, saying, make a note, Austin. So go ahead, John.
Well, and I'll tell you that a lot of the increase comes from the fact that, you know, we talked about oil markets. Alan had alluded to that. The fact is, when the oil market, when prices go down, the value of recycled materials actually goes down as well. And so we have worked in the city. We've worked in the past with our sheltered workshop here in town. That was a big recycler. And unfortunately, as the fuel prices went down, it became cost prohibitive for them to continue that operation. So really, in the city of Maryville, the only option people have is to bring it to the university. We are not, we never were set up to compete with the sheltered workshop. However, in order to make sure that we have the opportunity, that everyone around here has the opportunity to do the right thing and take care of the recycling properly, that's why they bring it to us. And fortunately, Chris and his team have been able to grow from simply grinding paper and taking care of the recycling that comes off of our campus alone into a process, into a system that's able to accept an increasing amount of recyclables from the community.
And John, I know, you know, you have a mountain of facts in your head relative to sustainability. And I underline facts because we've got data on pretty much everything we do here. But from a percent of alternative fuels that we use to heat, cool the campus, for our audience of All Things Northwest, can you kind of tell them about, you know, how good we are relative to use?
Well, this is really, I have to send it back all the way to the very beginning. With our alternative fuel program, one of the first well-functioning operational alternative fuel programs in the state and in the country, internationally recognized and nationally recognized at the by the federal government, even as far back as 1984. But that program over the years has developed to where in 2016, and I won't go to 17 because the data is kind of mixed based on the changes in the market. Sure. 2016, 85% of all of the energy produced on and consumed on campus. So that's electricity, that's MMBTUs of steam, which we use our central plant to heat, cool our buildings. But 85% of all that energy consumed by Northwest was produced at the boiler plant in the form of steam. Mm-hmm. And that came from wood chips. Very small amount from paper, which is really, the paper pellets are really just a supplemental fuel while we do shutdowns on the wood boiler for, you know, 30 days to clean and that sort of thing. But that's really incredible. If you look at the energy overall in the world, about 45% of all the world's energy goes into heating and cooling our buildings. And we've done way more than that, using wood chips of all things.
And interestingly, I've seen some comparative data of some larger universities around the region and beyond, and their goals for 2020 or 2024 or 2025 don't even come close to where we're at today. So intriguing to think about from where we've been at Northwest, what we're doing today and what we're doing in the future. Alan, as you think about sustainability related to capital projects, I mean, we've done a fair number of capital projects in the last many years, and we've got a few planned out for the next few years, but how do we drive sustainability into capital projects?
Well, there's no doubt that it needs to be involved in just about every aspect of what we do in our business and our daily lives. I think incorporating, whether it be energy efficiency or sustainability in our models for design or renovation for anything that we do on campus, also whenever we buy products, whenever we evaluate costs and efficiencies for things that we are incorporating into campus, whether that's academic equipment, it could be just about anything. I think we have developed an internal process to evaluate those purchases prior to moving forward. So we know that we're meeting some sort of a sustainability goal that we've established for ourselves.
And for example, just most recently, the Hughes Fieldhouse really qualifies for Silver LEED certification, correct?
It does. It does. And I think we modeled after Silver. We went through the process. Obviously, LEED building is a part of, in our program, the sustainability aspects of Capitol building.
Yeah. I promised myself I would not say, let's look back to Chris Redden's childhood and reflect upon that, but I'm going to anyways. Chris Redden, you've been with the university, as we said in the intro, for over a decade. However, you've been with the university pretty much your entire life because of your father. And, of course, listeners of All Things Northwest, you're listening to the program here on KXV KRNW. I'm your host, John Jasinski, and we're talking to John View, Chris Redden, and Alan Mays today about sustainability at Northwest. But we are honoring John Redden Jr., John C. Redden Jr. here with naming of our power plant up and coming in 2019. Chris, you grew up on campus in some ways. Talk about that experience and what you saw from a child's lens about what your father and really what Northwest was doing.
Kind of surprised me here, so I'm going to shoot from the hip.
Good.
As I was growing up, you know, there was times when I'd come out here and help Dad work on the boiler plant or do something here and there. From the time I was old enough to walk, really, because when Dad would always take the Christmas Eve and the days when nobody else had work, he'd come run the boiler plant, and Mom, she'd bring Christmas dinner right here. So we got to be inside the plant when we was younger, help drag ash, anything that needed done. You know, we grew up on a farm, so everybody pitched in and helped whenever it was time to do that kind of work. And when they started burning wood, there was a lot of them said that it wouldn't work. Dad was one of them that said, I don't think this will work. But as he got into it a little bit and open-minded, he started working on it and making things different and changing things. And it's still running today, just like it was whenever they started it.
And you've been able, Chris, to, you know, as we talked earlier, take over that recycling operation, and you've got a great team around you. But again, for listeners, talk about all the things that Northwest recycles.
Well, since we're talking about wood, we'll start there. We recycle a lot of pallets that come from everywhere. Pallets are one of them things. They're kind of a one-time use, and you see stacks of them piled everywhere. So we got a big grinder out there. We grind and process, take all the nails out of them, bring them over and burn them in a wood-fired boiler. Then, of course, we grind paper and cardboard, which that was another one that Dad started putting that grinder in out there at the pellet plant, and processing and pelletizing that paper, which burns really, really good. There's better BTUs in that paper than there is in anything. It kind of burns like coal. We just can't produce enough of it to be big scale with it because we don't get it. That's one thing we've never done. We've never bought paper from anywhere. It's always been given to us. We do go get some once in a while. Like we go to Cameron, to the prison over there, and we get all their paper and cardboard, which is baled, and our trucks haul it over here for us, and then we process it. And the most recent is whenever we started doing the plastic, tin cans, aluminum cans, some steel, all of the steel that whenever we do a building project, we recycle all that, copper, brass. You can't believe how many batteries we get out of the emergency lighting that, you know, at one time was a hazardous to get rid of, and now we're getting rid of and getting paid for them because we collect them and found markets to sell and get them back in so they can be recycled.
It's an amazing program, and I know that we host a lot of visitors going through that program. Alan, you mentioned, you know, the sustainability aspect of all this, if we can make it cost-effective and self-sustaining. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris does a fantastic job of taking those things and developing either energy into them, as we talked about the plant, or receiving revenue off of those things. And we look at that very similar to how we look at all of our other businesses. And I think our goal is to be a self-sustaining unit. As a regional recycler, we're looking for opportunities to be able to get value off of these things as we recycle them. And we're constantly thinking outside the box. I know Chris is, on how he can bring that value to his line of business.
John, you mentioned students and student involvement. Let me talk about that.
Well, you know, I wanted to step back one time back to the Hughes Fieldhouse and let you know that our recycling team, that LEED certification that would not have been possible without Chris and his team managing the waste management aspect of that project. They collected over 30 tons of recyclables from that project. But you know, Hughes is a tremendously large building, you know.
Right.
But that's something that not very many people can do, you know, and do it effectively. The student outreach part is what's really exciting is that I'll move back a few years. 2010, we had a student stand up in the Residence Hall Association meeting and said, why are they throwing away the food at the cafeteria? It was 8 o'clock, and I saw him just dump a pan of food into the garbage. What are we doing with that? Can't we donate that? After some research, it was determined that we actually couldn't. We're not close enough to markets to where we could actually pass that on to a shelter, that sort of thing. However, we did determine that we had the opportunity to do some composting. Food Service Organics, as a growing field across the country, we were not required, but there are places on the East Coast, even at that time, that were required. And the gentleman sitting here with me, Chris, made a blanket statement. He said, if you can get it out to the curb, I'll get it taken care of. And from that point, since 2010, we on average are composting about 300,000 pounds of Food Service Organics. And that's back of the house, front of the house. That's, sorted and collected. And so right there, in 2010, the Green Committee of RHA saw the university's commitment to sustainability. From that point, it's a matter of, getting students involved. We have Bearcats Going Green on campus. That over the years has evolved from, participating in homecoming and promoting recycling on campus through Recyclemania and different things, to this year, they have actually started talks about a green coalition of student organizations. And a lot of the Bearcats Going Green members are presidents of other organizations, wildlife organizations, environmentally focused organizations. And so in this coming year, what they want to do is bring those people together, so that they can help one another. And it's really not to say, hey, look, we have the most sustainability focused organizations. What it is, it's that when the B Club that we're getting ready to start needs people, they have the Green Coalition to draw from. When Bearcats Going Green starts a program promoting Recyclemania, doing a white paper, they can draw from these other organizations. And it also gets more faculty, gets more people focused in all across the university. So it's very exciting. I mean, it's very exciting to see students take ideas and run with them.
It's pretty obvious. We have students, faculty, staff, community members, alumni all contribute to everything that all of you do as leaders. In our few minutes left that we have in segment one on All Things Northwest for the February edition, let's talk just a little bit about recognition. We've received a few awards over the years. Who wants to talk about that?
I guess that one gets to. Well, so awards and recognitions. I made a list to try to keep track. One of the things that I put at the top of the list on awards and recognition is really the university's ability to obtain solid waste management district grants. So Department of Natural Resources in the state of Missouri divides the state up, and each region, we're Region A here in Northwest Missouri, has the opportunity, based on population, to provide grants to promote recycling. And ever since, we've been involved with that program. Early in 2010, when we did the first, it was a cooperative agreement with the city, where we set, Chris and his team built mobile recycling bins that set at our local parks, Beale, Sisseneague, down at the courthouse. From that point to our recycling truck in 2014, our first baler, the ability to get those grants, as determined by the local folks, is really a testament. That's an award in and of itself, to know that the community is recognizing it. And, the students may not see that, but some of the things that the students do see, the Missouri State Recycling Program, Missouri State Recycling Program out of the it's OA, the
Office of Administration
in Jefferson City. Their recycling program has recognized Northwest three times as recycling program of the year, to the point where the two we got in a row, people kind of looked like, why is Northwest getting on? So, but those recognitions really come on the back of the work of Chris and his team. Absolutely. We've been recognized for the composting program. We've been recognized for the advances in recycling. We've been recognized just for the development, for the ongoing, that attitude, which I find most encouraging, students find most encouraging, that if it needs to happen, we can make it happen. And Chris and his team are up for that.
And I know that there are many, many, many other recognitions, including, by the way, the American Association of State Colleges and Universities ask you a national recognition on sustainability practices. But as we close, maybe I can hear from John and from Alan about today moving forward. What do you guys see on the horizon for our sustainability practices?
Well, I can share a few things. I think sustainability and energy management is not only a stewardship, but it's a movement. And I think whenever we look at programs like solar, when we look at programs like wind, when we look at the ability of Northwest to be able to control kind of our market and destiny with fuel charges with our program, it's pretty powerful. And I think we're continuing to do that. But when I think about the movement, I think there's opportunities here also for students and faculty to learn and to compete and to be a part of a profession-based learning type opportunity to support these students as they move on into their workforce. I think there's a lot of aspects of that we're trying to, whether it be with John and Chris, to incorporate students hopefully very soon, hopefully in FY20, to support our sorting program down in our recycling area.
Chris, anything from you on the future?
It's going to grow if we let it. I mean, it'll just keep growing and growing, and there's more opportunities to even collect more stuff if we let it.
And it's pretty obvious that as you look back to the late 70s, into the 80s, the 90s, certainly the first decade of 2000s, and in this last decade, the next decade looks to be pretty interesting as to what you gentlemen are saying today. I know there's a lot more that we could cover on sustainability practices and programs at Northwest Missouri State University. Alan, you just said it's not just about stewardship. It's really a movement, and we have to let it move and let it grow. And we just thank our listeners for understanding what we do, but also what your role can be. And we certainly thank our students and faculty and staff. Gentlemen, John View, Chris Redden, Alan Mays, thank you for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you for having us.
Thank you, Dr. J.
When we come back, we'll talk to Senator Dan Hageman and Representative Alan Andrews. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com.
Welcome back to the February edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Chasinski. We'll now visit with Senator Dan Hageman and Representative Alan Andrews. Listeners of All Things Northwest, you know, those that have been around for a few years, we have Senator Hageman and Representative Andrews on the show in a kind of a regular fashion, whether it be at the end of a General Assembly session at the beginning or maybe even the middle, perhaps. So from a bio perspective, listeners, you know that Senator Dan Hageman and Representative Andrews, what they've done in their public and private careers is very, very impressive. I'm not going to read through the entire bio sheets except to say that they are true advocates of this state, of our region, and certainly all things Northwest. And we welcome you both to this program.
It is always a pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting us back.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and there's so much to get caught up on relative to new positions and really a new kind of vibe in terms of the General Assembly with the governor and our focus on a couple of different areas and so on. So let's just start there as you think through the first month. Well, let's even not start there. Let's go back before General Assembly. There's a couple of critical priorities the governor has forwarded. Maybe for our listeners, talk about those.
You bet. And I've had some new responsibilities foisted on me as well. Been appointed as the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, which is the equivalent to the Budget Committee in the House side. And so I've had a chance to look at our budgeting process much more. I've had it's a kind of an all-consuming aspect of my life right now, visiting with a lot of different entities about the budget. Now we've got the governor's budget recommendations out there, and so now we're visiting off of that and seeing where we want to go. Governor's got a lot of unique opportunities there in the budgeting process. He is looking to use some general revenue dollars for transportation purposes. After the defeat of Proposition D last year, he feels he knows the need for transportation funding is out there. And how do we do it? This is somewhat of a bold and different effort to use general revenue money for transportation. And so we will have that discussion here, whether the General Assembly will think that if that's a good idea or not. Many folks are speaking positively about it right now, but it's yet to be seen as to whether we will continue down that path. And it is a departure. We've not used it, general revenue. There's a lot of demands for general revenue funding, typically for entities that are basically general revenue funded, higher education, elementary, secondary education, corrections, public safety. And so there's a lot of needs in those areas as well. So this will be a unique effort that the governor's pushing.
Senator, and I was going to get to the questions about your new role in appropriations chair, but the governor back in the summer was talking about transportation infrastructure. Yep. You've mentioned that. Certainly workforce development, and trying to stick to that basic message is, as a state, and I believe other states are doing that same thing.
Sure.
Let's focus on the workforce, but also in our case, state of Missouri, transportation infrastructure, et cetera. So with all that being said, come back just for a moment, Senator. How does one learn that they're named to appropriations chair?
Well, I mean, I've made it clear that I have a lot of experience in doing the appropriations process, both in the General Assembly and then also when I was a county clerk in Andrew County. The clerks in third-class counties are the budget officers as well, and so they have to put together a budget. When you work on a county level, you deal with millions of dollars. When you work on the state level, you deal with billions of dollars. And I had 11 years of House and Appropriations and Budget Committee, and then my time in the Senate, I've had a couple years. And so I just presented that to the President Pro Tem of the Senate is the one who selects the committee's chairs and expressed that interest, rolled out my credentials, and was very honored that the President Pro Tem felt like I would be a good fit and good to work with him and the governor and the House members in trying to do what we think is the best interest of the state of Missouri at allocating your tax dollars, you and everybody that we're listening to, how do we spend your tax dollars in a proper, efficient, and effective manner?
And the listeners of All Things Northwest, you note that Senator Dan Hageman mentioned that it's all-consuming, and no doubt, being appropriations chair, it really is. Yeah. Representative Andrews, you've received some new appointments, leadership, and so on, so maybe talk about those for our listeners. Then we'll get to the session itself. So.
Well, I have been reappointed as chair of small business. Overwhelmingly on the budget committee, we're literally spending hours already working on the budget committee, as well as I've been reappointed to education appropriations, and a new committee I've been appointed to is ethics. So looking forward to jumping in on those. I know that we'll be hearing some bills in my small business committee this coming week, and so things will, right now we still have a lot of moving parts. as we do every year, as we get a new year started. But we're seeing not a whole lot of time on the floor yet because bills are still in committee, but they're moving in, moving out pretty quick, and getting them getting them on the calendar to start hearing them on the floor. So I do want to say that those of us on the budget committee on the House side, it is a huge undertaking. I mean, that's working that budget. That is one of the reasons why, as legislators, we're there, and we are to do everything we can to be as fiscally conservative and frugal with the taxpayer dollars as we possibly can. And in the House budget committee, we're really glad to see Senator Hageman appointed to that. That is a huge lift on behalf of Senator Hageman. So I've actually been trying to be a little nicer to the senator since he assumed that position.
I'm sure a lot of people have been.
So. I've got a lot of new friends. Yeah.
No, very grateful that he's there, and already he's doing a remarkable job getting that going. So.
Well, here it is. It's early February. As you think about the first month of the legislative session, what are your impressions so far?
Well, going forward, this marks a monumental year for Missouri. It's our 100th General Assembly. We're already off to a busy start, as we both said. This goes into my fifth year as a legislator. In my 4 years, I have served under three governors and three speakers of the House, and which is almost unprecedented. So I can honestly tell you that those of us in the class that I came in on, we are just really hoping that we have one uneventful year where all we do is focus on legislation. But regardless of that, I can tell you unequivocally that the atmosphere in the Capitol is entirely different than the times that I've seen it in my 4 years. We have a governor who is seriously and sincerely interested in the people of Missouri, all corners of the state. Whoever you are, he is interested, and he cares, and it shows. And so, it's really great to see, to walk out your office door and see down the hall, here comes the governor. Speaking to legislators about what issues are of concern to them, and he understands the legislature. He's worked. He's been there. He understands how to build that rapport, and he's a very respectable person. So the atmosphere has changed.
Senator, first impressions of the first month.
Alan said it well. I mean, the atmosphere is so positive, really, this year, and it is so. Exciting and rewarding to have a governor that really wants to engage, knows the legislative process, has got some excellent staff around him that know the legislative process, are used to engaging with legislators. Many of them have been legislators themselves, and it's just refreshing to have them engage during the legislative process. Mm-hmm. Not to dictate to us, but to help us develop legislation. And I so much appreciate that ability to bounce things off the governor's office, to engage with the governor's office, and to correct things that they may find as troublesome to them before we send them a bill that they have to veto. The last two governors have not been that engaging. It is refreshing to have a government that understands the process and also knows their limits. That it is the legislative process. The legislature develops the budget and puts together the spending. We control the purse strings. It's great to have recommendations to governor, and I agree with much of what the governor's recommending and working with it, but it is the legislature's budget. And so we will defend the legislative, the General Assembly in that regard. But certainly agree with much of the priorities that the governor's had out there. Maybe not everyone.
And the governor, of course, was our distinguished lecture series presenter back in April or May of this past year. We had a chance to walk and talk and really talk about infrastructure here at Northwest as he helped, as you gentlemen did too, through some deferred maintenance issues of a few years ago. So we actually showed him some of the deferred maintenance projects that we were just completing at Northwest. But since then, he's been a guest on this show of All Things Northwest, and I know that his priorities, workforce development, transportation, infrastructure, are part of the overall priorities, not just of the state, but of the districts that you serve. So talk about, as you think about your constituents that you, you know, talk about all consuming, you're talking to your constituents all the time. Talk about some of the priorities within the areas that you serve.
You bet. And in regards to infrastructure improvement, and I really think it's a basic function of state government to do that. The governor's really on board with that, whether it be transportation infrastructure. I've given an example of a couple of things that he's moving on that. But also water infrastructure. He's very supportive of some water projects that we have going on in northwest Missouri. You know, the drought last year emphasized even more the need to, you know, step up on these water projects so we can have plentiful supply of drinking water in many of our areas, but also broadband expansion. You know, another infrastructure improvement. The governor is dedicated and very interested in moving broadband out across all of rural Missouri, all across the state of Missouri, and has put forth considerable resources to help with that effort. And I'm excited about that. Had a bill dealing with that last year. Looking forward to, I had a bill dealing with that last year, and looking forward to continuing to move forward on that. Love the fact that the governor's got that. You know, here in higher education, it's great that the governor, authorized or recommended $2 million worth of maintenance for the 10 campuses out there. That'll be continuation of the infrastructure improvements here yet on the campus. And then he has these MoExcel opportunities out there, which, Northwest did very well, I think, in that opportunity, too. We'll be able to move forward on a project there as well if we're able to continue with that funding.
Right. And Representative, the districts that you serve and the counties and so on?
Right. I think the Senator put it very well. I don't really know what more I could add to that, but, I can honestly say that the governor and the legislature I've seen in my 4 years of being there so far, this year I see better programs, better ideas going forth that's really going to move the needle, so to speak. For Missouri, you know, in our area, in my four counties, we do have a skilled labor shortage, and that really ties into education. And so, some of these things that these programs, Missouri Fast Track and Excel's Workforce Initiative, some of those things are really going to make a difference. I really truly believe. You know, something else that is probably as of this point early in the session, but it's the most important thing for my constituency right now is making sure that wind farm tax revenue stays local. I mean, it's a tremendous thing for us in Atchison County, Nottoway County, with the developments going on there. So, and I filed House Bill 220 that actually we'll be having a hearing on that next week. And so right now, the way it is assessed, wind revenues are assessed, is that it's assessed locally right now, but with the public utility, which this will be the first time Ameren is looking at coming in and purchasing a wind farm development. And so whenever they do that, if nothing changes, that revenue would be spread throughout the system. And so it goes statewide. So none of that, very little of that money would be staying locally. And so that's a big thing because, you know, you're literally talking hundreds of thousands of dollars of tax revenue that would be going away from the local communities. And so, here in northern Missouri, if you go clear across northern Missouri, you know, we just don't get the economic development opportunities that our urban friends have. And so everything that we can capture, we need to be looking at.
I know that open records has been a topic of discussion. Where do we stand on that whole area?
Well, with the passage of Clean Missouri, it does open up the legislature branch to open record requests, Sunshine Law requests. We are learning how to deal with those requests and those efforts there. I think and we will work through it, and we'll work with it. Some legislators, and myself included, are worried that it may put a chilling effect on the fact that our constituents may not feel as free to reach out to us and to ask us to engage on their behalf to deal with a large entity of state government. And it is intimidating. You know, state government's intimidating, and sometimes they need somebody to help help them with an issue that they want to see resolved. And the fact that this now may become, could become public record or you know, out to the public with a Sunshine Law request, you know, that certainly has put a chilling effect, I think, upon constituents reaching out. And so we're struggling with that. You know, most media probably would be tactful and not go in that direction of you know, putting constituents' issues out in the public. But you know, certainly that's a worry that we're struggling with, worrying about right now. And we will find a happy medium as we go forth. But it's certainly a concern right now.
I know that Clean Missouri Act has changed a little bit of what's happening in Jefferson City with regard to receptions and so on. Here it is, mid-February. We're coming off another successful Great Northwest set of days. Senator Hageman, thank you for your support of that and Representative Andrews. But as you reflect on Great Northwest Days, how many years has it been going on? I don't even know. Do you guys know?
No, I think we had our 10th. I think this is the 11th or 12th year.
So we're coming off another successful one. Kind of talk about the importance of that kind of event.
Well, Senator Hageman has been vital in forming that and really pushing that through from the beginning. And Great Northwest Day is literally one, and I'm not just saying this because I'm from Northwest Missouri. Great Northwest Day is considered in the legislature as the premier go-to event. Always mm-hmm. held at the Capitol Plaza in the ballroom. The ballroom is packed mm-hmm. With communities all throughout Northwest Missouri. And why that is so important is because legislators, we're a long way from the Capitol. And it's instead of legislators coming to Northwest Missouri, which very seldom ever happens, we're bringing Northwest Missouri to them. So it's all good things that's happening in Northwest Missouri. It's a showcase, and it's a wonderful way to display what's going on in Northwest Missouri. You know, the concern that I have that the senator is trying to overcome, which I am gratefully appreciative of, regarding Clean Missouri. Clean Missouri has put a damper on these type of events that are so crucially important to educate the legislature on different areas. I know Southwest Missouri just had theirs, and it did not turn out very well and with attendance, and so that's a concern that I have. Legislators are unable to accept any meals, anything like that, over the cost of $5. You know, of course, that's not a problem for Senator Hageman and I. It's, you know, we can buy our own meals or, you know, whatever. Buy, you know, first of all, you know, I've not known a legislator that switched his vote over a $5 sandwich.
Right.
But, you know, if he did, I think, you know, that person did, you have a problem. But so because of some of these restrictions that went along with Clean Missouri, I'm really concerned that that we're not going to see the turnout. Senator Hageman offered to purchase a meal, buy the meal for any legislator that was willing to attend. And so really appreciate the effort on behalf of Senator Hageman, and hopefully we'll work through these issues with Clean Missouri. You know, the people have spoken, and we have to work with what the people have charged us with. And so we want to be very respectful of that and see what we can do to continue to bolster Great Northwest Day.
And what I believe I hear from both of you is that as voters speak, obviously they're saying something. On the other hand, you know, sometimes when a bill is passed, or in this case a vote is made, it may not be perfect. So as you mentioned, the senator, where is that compromise and getting it right? And there's work ahead.
You bet. And we will work through these and hopefully be as effective in taking care of our constituents as we have been in the past.
As we begin to close, I want to close on the personal side, if I may. But before I do, I'd be remiss to just not mention Northwest Missouri State University as part of the workforce development equation, as part of a focus on infrastructure and transportation. Again, I try to ask you when you guys are on the program, but your thoughts about Northwest, what you hear from your constituents about Northwest Missouri State.
You know, I still have a tremendous respect and appreciation for what has gone on up here at Northwest. You've got a great school at an affordable price. And let me tell you what, it's quite an effort to keep that tuition down. And I, as a father of two children that have come through this institution, mm-hmm. greatly appreciate your and the region's efforts to keep the tuition down up here. Fantastic educational opportunity up here and offerings up here at an affordable rate. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you and the regents have done up here.
Well,
through
thank
the past
you.
We've
got a great team around us, that's for sure. Representative?
Northwest continues to have a great reflection in the state. And, you know, we hear that in our colleagues at the Capitol. And whenever you come to the Capitol and testify and the involvement that you are in higher education statewide, that means a great deal. People set up and take notice. Just the other day in one of our committees, it was brought up that, you know, the $75 million of cost efficiencies at Northwest, that's unspeakable. You know, those are things that just don't happen without a lot of effort. And you've told me many times that there's a great team here working together to make those things happen. And so people see that, legislators see that. And so Northwest continues to be a bright spot, not only in Northwest Missouri, but throughout the entire state.
Well, thank you. We're very proud of our performance excellence as we begin to close. I know parts of your families in some cases, and I'll just mention Senator Hageman, your son Joe, is working for U.S. Representative Sam Graves' office. I know you're proud of all your children, but is Joe looking to follow his dad's footsteps?
Oh, it's maybe too early to tell about that. Joseph enjoys visiting with people, enjoys working for people, enjoys helping constituents in the congressman's office. I'm proud of him for that standpoint. People tell me he's doing a good job. I think he is.
And well, he actually comes by the office and visits me, and we have good conversations.
I'm happy that he's turned out to be a fine young man.
There you go.
He is. He's a wonderful fellow.
Senator Dan Hageman, Representative Alan Andrews, you're always so giving of your time and your thoughts. And, you know, when my office or Northwest calls for whatever event might be or an interview like this, I tell our listeners that you're just so gracious to say yes. So, Thane, I know you have meetings after we get done recording here today. So thank you very much for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Alan Mays, Chris Redden, and John View from Northwest Missouri State University, and Senator Dan Hageman and Representative Alan Andrews. Thanks, too, to our producer, Austin Hall. He's a student here at Northwest. And we also thank KXCB General Manager Rodney Harris for all of his assistance. Friends, we here at Northwest focus on student success. Thank you for assisting us in enhancing our focus on students through your support of All Things Northwest, KXCB, KRNW, and Public Radio. Be a Bearcat, ladies and gentlemen. Learn, connect, care, practice civility, and show pride in Northwest, our radio station, and of course, public radio in general. I'm John Chasinski. Take good care and keep celebrating and advancing our region.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from the City of Maryville and Nottoway County Economic Development. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by sports media major Austin Hall. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.